This is Rebel Radio, the official podcast of TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast. And this is Jay Muse, Snooch to the Nooch. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. Go there and do it.
Hey, welcome to another new episode of Rebel Radio, the official podcast of Trust Me, I'm a Jedi.com. This is your host, Mark, the editor-in-chief and founder of Trust Me, I'm a Jedi. And Frank T. Biscuit is sitting out this one today. So my co-host today is the man known as the Electric Monkey, Matt, sitting in the house. What's going on, Matt?
How you doing, guys? Glad to be back again for my second intro. Hope to be doing some cool stuff today. Well, I'll hand it back to Mark. Let you know what we're doing.
Well, we're going to be discussing Batman today. It's the 25th anniversary of the movie recently, and I wrote an article on the site for Retroplex Cinema talking about that anniversary. And but before we go further, talk a little bit about some things going on the website. A very popular feature has been the TGIF girl, the Friday girl. And some people might be disappointed in this, but we are probably, not probably, that's the wrong word, we're going to be retiring the TGIF girl. She's been going for 4 years, and it's been a nice traffic draw to the site because the men like it, of course, but we don't want to come across as sexist, and we want to move the site forward with more articles, more features, and not rely on hot naked women. Not that there's anything wrong with hot naked women, right, Electric Monkey?
Of course not, and that's how we all got here, right?
That's right. So this week, July 4th, is, of course, a holiday in the USA. It's going to be the final TGIF girl, and then we will leave it archived on the site for about a month, and in August, the TGIF girl will be coming off the site. But there's going to be some exciting new features. We're going to be introducing a fan fiction section, which some people, friends of Jedi's and stuff, have shown some excitement about. And we may bring back an old feature, the old video pick of the month. We are working on some new features with our co-host of the show. You may have something coming up on Electric Monkey.
I might be bringing back a electric boogaloo, one of sorts that you can read, and might be a little quirky, a little interesting, a little goofy. But let's see when we can bring it on.
And that's ultimately our goal at TrustMeJedi.com. It's not only Rebel Radio being an extension of the website and something for you to hear our voices and our opinions on movies and things going in the world, but the website itself is just to bring you kind of interesting stuff. We know there's a lot of websites out there that have daily movie news and stuff, but we really want to try to bring you some stuff that's a little unique. That's why I started Retroplex Cinema. The Holocron is some articles we put, and the Jedi Awards at the end of every year. And we bring you the basic news. We keep it simple, but that's ultimately the goal of Jedi, and we hope we're doing that. And the TGIF girl this week will be the final TGIF girl on Friday of next week, and she will be retired. But we will have some exciting new features for you. We may even have some cosplay posts again now and then, so you may still get your women in some costumes, but we're going to have some men in costumes too. We're all looking at this. It's just a way to help Trust Me, I'm a Jedi grow. And along with that, some new features on the site. I don't think we mentioned. We've got message forums now, right, Electric Monkey?
Yes, sir.
I know there's a lot of message forums out there, but please go sign up for them and use them. You can also find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, of course, Facebook. So follow us on social media links. Sometimes on Tumblr, I post exclusive stuff on there that's not on the website. Facebook, we've been doing Batman posts all week on there. And so please follow TrustMeJedi.com on all the different social media. And, of course, please visit the website every day if you can and look at some of the latest news. We had some first look at Mad Max this week, finally. That was very cool. I just posted up. They're going to have exclusive Guardians of the Galaxy preview screenings all across the nation on July 7th. It's completely free. You go to TrustMeJedi.com, look at the link, you can sign up. You get to see 17 minutes of the film in 3D IMAX on Monday night, July the 7th, and you get to take home a very cool poster when you go. And so that's going on across the nation, so go to the website for that. But as I mentioned, we've been doing Batman posts all week on Trust Me, I'm a Jedi's Facebook page, so that is our focus of today's podcast. And 25 years since Batman came out. And I know, Matt, you were a little younger when it came out, like mm-hmm. 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah.
I was only about 12, but I distinctly remember the first time I saw Batman. Saw at the old AMC 10 over in Town and Country here in Houston. And I remember being like one of the first movies I ever stood in line for as a child. I remember my parents telling me about standing in line for Star Wars, but I was 2 or 3. I don't remember it. But then Batman came out. I remember standing in line and just remember the excitement of it.
Well, you have to remember, the lines were long because it was the highest grossing DC movie since 2008's Dark Knight. And so that's a long time for something to hold that title. So the lines had to be long.
Well, yeah. In 1989 terms, it made $250 million plus at the box office, which was a lot of money back then. Only movies like Star Wars and E.T. had done more. Of course, those were huge mega blockbusters.
Oh, yeah.
And Empire Strikes Back, Jedi, some of those. Batman was also filmed on a relatively modest budget for 1989. And they brought in director Tim Burton that people weren't sure about. This guy had done Beetlejuice and some quirky stuff. Michael Keaton wasn't a very popular choice.
Nope. In fact, he was so unpopular that people sent 50,000 letters plus to Warner Brothers talking about how disapproved they were of people choosing Michael Keaton over some of the other runner-ups like Tom Hanks and The Shadow himself. So, you know, that they weren't too happy. Also Bill Murray was also in the running for that.
I mean, could you imagine if the internet existed in 1989?
Oh, my God.
We thought Ben Affleck being cast as Batman caused controversy. Michael Keaton probably would have been ran out of Hollywood.
Probably.
But in the end, it turned out to be a good choice. I remember seeing the first trailers for the movie, The Darkness. A lot of people aren't familiar. Like, The Dark Knight Returns came out in 1986 in comics, and it kind of changed Batman and made him darker. Mm-hmm. But the mainstream audience didn't read comics then. They didn't know. So for them, the Batman they grew up with was Adam West and Burt Ward in the 1960s. Kabam, pow, very goofy, silly Batman. So Tim Burton came in and brought a darker Batman in a black costume, mm-hmm. and it completely changed the way people looked at things. Jack Nicholson played an over-the-top, very kind of crazy Joker, and that a lot of people complained was the center point of the film. And even now, 25 years later, I still think there's a little too much Joker. There's things I don't like about the film. I think the Prince music with him dancing is ridiculous.
Yeah, that was pretty goofy.
And
Just imagine. Sorry to interrupt you, Mark. No, but a lot of people don't realize this, but Jack Nicholson turned down the offer at first, and Robin Williams was in pre-production. But then Jack Nicholson said, hey, you know, I'm going to go ahead and I'll go through with it, and they cut Williams. So what would it be with the,
oh, Robert Williams, oh, I don't know.
Well, that is true. And Jack Nicholson ended up making a lot of money off of this. We won't even talk about how greedy Hollywood people are, but Nicholson ended up getting a lot of royalties from the film.
$60 million.
There was talks about Robin Williams coming back and playing the Riddler later on. There was even rumor if they had done a fifth film, which was apparently called Batman Triumphant, that Robin Williams was either going to, A, come in as a Scarecrow, or B, they were going to bring the Joker back alive as Robin Williams. This was in 1995, 96, but that never happened. There is apparently the Batman Triumphant script out there on the internet if you want to read it, I've heard. I never bothered to look at it because Batman and Robin left such a sour taste in my mouth that I didn't want to deal with any Schumacher, more Batmans. But we're not really discussing that. We're discussing 25th anniversary of Tim Burton's 1989 Batman film.
Yes.
And one thing I have to mention, I remember being 12 or 13 years old when I saw the movie. And Matt probably saw the movie the first time either on television or video. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were young, but the freaking car.
Oh, my God.
As much as Christopher Nolan's Tumbler is cool, the 1989 Batman Mobile is still my favorite Batmobile.
Yes.
I like the design, just the coolness of it, the sleekness.
The rocket boosters coming out of the back.
Yeah, I remember seeing that when I was a kid. I was like, man, that is awesome. And, you know, I'm a huge Batman fan now. As you know, I've got a Batman tattoo on me and all that. But I think 89 Batman is what made me a Batman fan growing up. And I watch the movie now, and there's things I still like about it. I love the opening where he first says, I'm Batman, and the intro, and I like where Joker pulls out the big gun because it's kind of darkly funny. But there's things I don't like about the movie, too. It holds up pretty well 25 years later. And out of the original four Batman films, it's the only one I can still watch comfortably after the Nolan movies.
Absolutely.
Because Batman Returns is not very good. Batman Forever has moments, but even it's Tommy Lee Jones drives me crazy in it. And not to diss your boy Schwarzenegger, Matt, but let's not even talk about Batman and Robin.
Yeah, that wasn't that
great. Yeah, I'd rather use toilet paper twice if I had to. So what are some of your thoughts on that? When did you first see Batman, and when do you remember growing up watching Batman as a child and how it impacted you?
I caught it a little late. You know, I was only a few years old, 3 or 4, you know, when it came out, and you know, I got to see it a little later whenever I was 6. You know, even though it was, you know, PG-13 or R, I forget.
PG-13.
You know, PG-13. Yeah. And, you know, my parents, my dad always, you know, explained to me that a movie's a movie. So I got to watch it. And I remember Joker falling into the tank and, you know, having his face, you know, discombobulated.
Real quick, that was another thing back in 1989. Michael Keaton appeared on The Tonight Show, and he actually spoiled that Jack Napier became the Joker and the Joker killed his parents.
I had no idea.
And a lot of people nowadays, can you imagine if an actor had spoiled the film for people on television and the internet?
Oh,
nowadays,
man.
They're so secretive about things. A lot of people don't know this. And I'll actually have to find that video and we'll put it up on the Trust Me a Jedi Facebook later on. But Keaton actually spoiled a big part of the film because they had changed the origin and made the Joker kill his parents, which everyone knows Joe Chills, who really killed his parents.
Exactly.
But they took some liberties with the Burton Schumacher films. That's okay. But go on, Matt. Continue what you were talking about and the impact Batman had on you.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's you always had the Batman toys back then. Everyone remembers that small stuffed Batman from the Adam West era. And, you know, it kind of brought a face to Batman and, you know, an enjoyable, you know, moving picture that did really well and was very entertaining. Tim Burton, of course, you know, drew interest from Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns and, you know, The Killing Joke. Of course, not a lot of people watched comics back then, but it had a lot of influence on the darkness and, you know, how the film was directed. And I remember, you know, just, you know, great fight scenes as a kid. You know, of course, that's all you focus on as a kid. You like the fight scenes. You like to see, you know, when Joker, whenever he had the water, Jack Nicholson, he had water thrown on him, and his face isn't painted, and then the water hits him, and his face is instantly painted. It's just, you know, pow, you know, right there. It's, you don't expect it, and it was really cool to see some of that, you know, awesomeness back then was surprising, you know, during the film.
It was funny, too. It's like I remember growing up in the trailer, where does he get those wonderful toys line? And then we actually see the movie. You know, we actually see the movie. That line is kind of cheesy in the movie.
It really is, especially nowadays when, you know, after you've seen all that you have seen with The Dark Knight, you know, and Christopher Nolan.
Yeah. And then also another thing, I remember being a child when I first saw it, and where he shakes a guy's hand and burns him to death, and I can't remember the joke
yes.
he makes. And it, like when I was younger, I saw it. It was kind of like, oh, it's creepy and kind of scary.
Yeah.
I watch it now. You kind of laugh at it because you kind of like, that's kind of sick and twisted, but it's kind of funny too.
Well, we have two Jokers here. You know, we had Jack Nicholson. He was the very goofy, you know, kind of, you know, very jokey kind of Joker, and you had Heath Ledger, who was very sinister, you know, in his jokes and his chaos.
A little darker. Yeah.
It was a little darker. You know. So it was definitely, you know, there was definitely some puns after everything the Joker, you know, said and did. You know, I think he referred to art form whenever he was talking to Miss Vale during their meeting. He confronted her about an interview, and he had a girl he had dressed up, you know, as a Joker in Joker makeup. So a lot of puns, a lot of silliness, but also dark.
Right.
It was very entertaining. That's what I remember as a kid.
And another side note, as we kind of throw interesting facts at you, at our listeners today, as we talk about Batman, is, you know, a lot of people don't know that in some ways the script wasn't done, and they actually didn't really know how to end the film. They didn't have a script where the Joker died, apparently. Like, well, they had a script, but, like, they didn't really want to end it like that. Mm-hmm. And they kind of wrote themselves into a hole. And they had to kind of kill the Joker the way the plot planned out. And that's why there were rumors if there had been a Batman triumphant bringing the Joker back, because they wanted to use the Joker again. They didn't really plan on killing him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of the way it worked out. And plus, Nicholson had kind of already come out and said he wasn't going to do more. That one was it. And, you know, because that was kind of when Nicholson was going through his I don't know, his Hollywood icon phase, and a lot of people were surprised he even did the movie. And it is an iconic role, and it holds up well today. He's a little corny, a little over the top, but let's not so much talk about Nicholson. Let's talk about Keaton a little bit. Here's a guy who had done Mr. Mom, Gung Ho, Beetlejuice,
and yeah.
All of a sudden he's Bruce Wayne. And you know, it's funny. I love Bale and stuff, but I think Keaton's still my second favorite.
Gotta be.
I really like the way he played the role. He kind of had a smirk about him. He kind of had that playboy attitude. I thought he pulled off. He looked fine in the costume. The costume was big and bulky. He couldn't move his neck. It was very heavy.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy. Everyone knows that. He said he sweated 5 pounds of sweat a day. And but you know, really, everyone wants to talk about Nicholson over the years, but I thought Keaton did a fine job as Batman.
Oh, yeah. And he was so uncomfortable in his suit. You know, he actually had a recent interview talking about the bat suit, and it was so frustrating for him to be confined. He had to move his whole torso when he looked. And, you know, I'm doing it myself as I talk about it. It's pretty fun to do because, you know, now we refer to that as the hero turn. You know, it actually, you know, a little... You know, cliche came out of it. You know, we call it the hero turn. And, you know, there was a reference to it in Batman the Dark Knight. You know, he wanted to be able to back out of the driveway, so to say. So, you know, he came up with a new cowl. And, you know, Keaton, you know, he transferred all that frustrated, you know, feelings that he got
into
out
the
of
role.
It into the role. And yeah. He had a very powerful presentation as Batman.
Yeah.
You know?
And I really thought he did a good job. And I never really had a problem Keaton casting in the role. And then we went on to Val Kilmer and Clooney. But, we won't really discuss them too much.
Yeah.
But overall, the Batman 1989 has definitely been probably one of the most influential comic book films for me growing up. It's one of the first ones. I remember seeing Superman the movie that came out in 1978, but that was like the only comic book hero movie we had until 1989. And Superman I saw on TV and video because it came out when I was very little.
Mm-hmm.
Batman was the first one I saw in theaters that really blew my mind, so to speak, as a child, and really got me heavily into comics and wanting to read comics and more. And Batman is still having an impact on people today. And we will discuss that here in about how Batman's still impacting films today here next on Rebel Radio.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rebel Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Right, we are on Rebel Radio here, the official podcast of TrustingMyJedi.com. Your host, Mark, and with me hanging out today is Electric Monkey Matt.
How you doing, guys?
Frank T. Biscuit, taking the night off from this podcast, but he'll be back with us on the next one. He's nursing some wounds, so to speak, but we won't talk about that. And but anyway, we'll see you next time, Frank T. Biscuit. And again, if you can follow us all on Twitter, go to TrustingMyJedi.com, go to the staff page. You'll see pictures of our ugly mugs, me and Frank and Matt, and all our pictures are up there. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow the site on Facebook, of course, and that's all found at TrustmanJedi.com. We're discussing Batman on this episode, the 1989 Batman, to be specific, and a little bit of Batman in general, because Batman does turn 75 this year. That was one reason Batman was released in 1989, because it was the 50th anniversary of the movie. Mm-hmm. And here we are 25 years later. It's a movie, of course, everyone's probably seen it by now. And one thing about Batman in 1989 is its impact and influence even today. Even with films that are coming out, like Guardians of the Galaxy and next year's Avengers and the other Batman-Superman movie that's coming out, Batman's influence, it completely changed the way comic book movies were looked at in the industry, because before Batman, comic book movies were kind of a joke. Superman was successful, mm-hmm. but they ended up destroying the franchise with the Quest for Peace, which was awful. Masters of the Universe was kind of a comic book toy movie that the studio didn't get behind because they didn't believe it was successful, and Batman changed that. And because of Batman, we've had movies like The Crow was obviously directly impacted by Batman, its look and its influence.
The darkness, the dreariness.
Yeah, the Phantom, other pulp, you mentioned The Shadow earlier.
Oh, yeah.
The Shadow and The Phantom ended up getting released in the 90s because suddenly pulp heroes became popular again. There was an audience for this, for a Phantom movie and for a movie, The Shadow movie. And there's even influence from Tim Burton's Batman and Christopher Nolan's trilogy. Some of the darkness of it, the costumes, the looks. Batman, to this day, it carried over into the comic books. Batman was already changing the comics some because of Neil Adams' work in the 70s and Frank Miller's work on Dark Knight Returns. But I think 89 Batman really pushed Batman over the edge to be a darker hero. It took a while before they introduced the black and gray costume in the comics on a permanent basis, but 89 Batman was the beginning of it. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. And and then you had the 95. Was it 95 when the animated series came out?
Actually, the animated series was a result of Batman. It started airing in 92, right before Batman Returns hit. So, yeah.
I remember watching that every day.
Yeah, every day I would come home from school. It was before we had DVR. I had a VCR set. I had tapes loaded with Batman the Animated Series. And now I've got them all on DVD. And it's still such an amazing... It's probably the best incarnation of Batman even today. And yes, Batman the Animated Series was a direct result of Batman, of Tim Burton's Batman. And still possibly the best rendition of Batman to this very day. And
very Frank Miller.
Yeah. And Tim Burton's Batman has had, like I said, had an obvious influence on costume design, art direction, cinematography of comic books even today. Maybe some of the Marvel stuff isn't as influenced as heavily, except maybe some of the costume designs, because they learned how to make superhero costumes look good on screen because of Batman. And now you have characters like Thor and Iron Man, all these characters are able to look good on screen and not come across as goofy, because... one thing about, like, Christopher Reeve's Superman, and don't get me wrong, Christopher Reeve will always be Superman to me, but the spandex was very 1970s.
Very 1970s.
And it's a good thing now that we have more rubberized suits. They look more real. Henry Cavill and Man of Steel looked much more convincing as Superman than Christopher Reeve did, but, you know, it's the way things have changed over the years. Mm-hmm. And now we are 25 years later. Batman is still going strong. It's not only 25 years of Batman, it's 75 years of Batman. 75 years! We've got Batman and Superman Dawn of Justice on the horizon with Ben Affleck playing Batman.
Yes.
There's been rumors of another animated series in the works. Of course, since Batman the Animated Series, we had The Batman. Then we had Batman Brave and the Bold, that was an excellent series if people haven't watched it. Take the time to watch Batman Brave and the Bold on Netflix. People think it's cheesy. It looks like it's corny, but it's so good. And then we had Beware of the Batman recently, and now apparently there's rumors of another one. We had Christopher Nolan's trilogy that started in 2005 and ended a couple years ago. And so 75 years later, Batman is still going strong. There's numerous Batman comic books sold in stores. Of course, Batman Detective Comics starring Batman. I know there's a weekly series now called Batman Eternal. There's a book based on Batman 66 in the Adam West series, which has become a very popular comic. And later this year, we expect an announcement at Comic-Con. The 1960s Adam West Batman's coming home to DVD finally.
Really?
Yes, possibly Blu-ray too. And as corny as the series goes, it's almost a must-own if you're a Batman fan. And, what do you think of Batman being 75 years old and the impact he's had on maybe your life, just the culture in general and the world?
Well, I think, as far as, history on Batman, we should remember what Batman was based off of. And a lot of people don't realize this, is that Teddy Roosevelt was the inspiration for Batman. He had his parents killed his right in front of him during a mugging when he was a child. And whenever he grew older, he trained with the Indians, trapping, hunting, and techniques, and he led a band called the Rough Riders, vigilantes that would ride out at night and serve up justice, street justice, right then in the dark of night.
Well, some of that is urban myth.
It's urban myth, yes. But I believe it. I'm a believer. It sounds believable to me. And it just sounds cool, How cool would it be to have a politician that was also a vigilante?
Well, true.
Yeah.
And Bob Kane, and let's not forget Bill Finger, who's a co-creator of Batman, who's caused some controversy. There's been some controversy lately about DC giving Bob Finger his credit. Mm-hmm. They were also very influenced by the pulp heroes of the day in the 1930s pulp magazines and stuff that came out of World War I and stuff. But no, I've heard the Teddy Roosevelt story before, too.
And Batman also... survived. I mean, all of these comics survived. Comic books, the Seduction of the Innocents trial in the early 60s. Whenever comic books like Tales of the Crypt that were, you know, that had some violence, and they said that Batman and Robin seemed very homosexual, and they didn't want people illustrating it.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't realize that comic books had a real life villain.
It was a creation of the comic book code, which was around for many years, and no, you're right about that, and it's one of the reasons Batman and Robin went a little sillier. It was not just the influence of the Adam West TV show, but like you said, people felt it was a little dark and scary, and Batman went very silly in the 1960s.
Yes.
And of course Neil Adams in the 70s started making him darker again, and I think it's an impact too of just the cultural icon of Batman. Like, you and I both have children, and they love Batman, and just children today identify with him. I mean, along with Spider-Man and Superman, Batman's probably the top three most recognized characters in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
think about this. You know, Superman, you know, Action Comics, you know, number one, 1933. You know, we had all these other characters, and they got – they were popular, and they were more developed because they had personal problems. Batman, he's this orphan. People can identify with that. You know, you had the X-Men. You know, they were outcasts. They had problems at home. And, you know, Batman, you know, he's human. He has real problems. And, you know, he turned those problems into a positive and used it as a strength. So, you know, it became very popular.
To do good. Have you ever noticed, too, like with Batman, even though he was an orphan billionaire, that from the stories I've read over the years and the things I've seen, that their writers are very careful to never make it about him being rich. Batman has money, but he uses it, like you said, to buy his toys, as we go back to that line from Jack Nicholson's Joker. And he also, there was always stories about him helping orphanages in Gotham City and using his money for good, that it was never, yeah, there's some in jokes about him and buying hotels or hot chicks or cars like we see in the movies. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, one thing I thought was nice, it was never about him being rich. Like you said, it's about this everyday guy that had a tragic event happen that put on this costume to do good and help people.
Exactly. And I think some of these villains can show you what Batman could have been if he would have went the wrong way. You know, look at the Penguin. Now, Penguin was a corporate mastermind. He was, you know, very white-collar crime with his money. And, you know, if Batman, you know, Bruce Wayne were that way with his company, he could be that way. If, you know, Two-Face was hurt, and, you know, if Batman wanted to go the route of vengeance like Two-Face, you know, he would have been different. So, you know, all these villains, they're linked to Batman as, you know, other paths that Batman could have taken. And I forget where I read that, but I read that in an editorial a long time ago, and it's very interesting to see that these villains are Batman, but Batman's character is what separates them.
Exactly. And I'm glad you mentioned the villains, because that was what I was going to talk about next. I mean, how great is Batman's rogues gallery?
Yes.
I mean, and we're not just kissing Batman's butt because we're discussing him and the anniversary of his movie, 75th anniversary, but he truly probably has the single greatest rogues gallery in the comic book industry. I mean, you can't beat the Joker, Two-Face, the Penguin, Catwoman, the Mad Hatter, Black Mask, Harley Quinn,
yes,
Bane. Who am I forgetting?
Riddler.
The Riddler, of
course.
Scarecrow.
Man-Bat.
Man-Bat.
Sharpshot.
Deadshot.
Deadshot.
And he's got his Mr. Freeze. We didn't even mention Mr. Freeze.
Yes.
Poison Ivy. Another great female villain. He had his cheesy villains. Zeus was kind of cheesy.
Yeah, Zeus was
cheesy. You know, but I mean, his rogues gallery is unbelievable. You know, I mean, even compared to, I mean, Spider-Man had some great rogues galleries, but it's hard to argue that anyone's better than Batman and his villains. And like you said, his villains are what make him. Who is Batman without the Joker or without Penguin?
Exactly.
You know, and some writers handle that really well, some don't. Nolan obviously understood it in his films that Batman exists because of the evil in the world and because he has to be there to fight the Scarecrow or Ra's al Ghul. And that's Ra's al Ghul, another villain we didn't even mention. And
Well, there you go. There's another character aspect of Batman. Batman could have been at Ra's al Ghul at one point.
Right.
You know?
And then and we can't mention the villains of Batman without mentioning Robin. There's been obviously several different Robins over the year. Dick Grayson, who became Nightwing. Jason Todd, who they initially killed off, and he's been brought back to life. Tim Drake, and now his son Damian, who was killed but will be coming back in the comics in current storylines. And Robin's probably the most iconic sidekick ever created.
Ever.
Other than R2-D2 and C-3PO, it's Batman and Robin.
Gee willikers.
And it's hard not to mention Batman without Robin. Even if Robin was corny at times, like in the Adam West TV series, in some ways... I know Nolan didn't want to put Robin in his films, but in some, and granted, we got the little Easter egg with John Blake there at the end of Dark Knight Rises. Mm-hmm. But in some ways, aren't you hoping to see Robin jump out in the Nolan films?
I was hoping. You know, it's like, I know it's not his style because Robin kind of carries with him this like boyish, you know, kind of, you know, silly, playful kind of, you know, feel for him, because in the 60s, you know, with Adam West, it was always, gee willikers, Batman, holy bat cape.
And that's my thing. I think Schumacher left a bad taste in people's mouths with Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, so it put a bad taste in Christopher Nolan's mouth that he just didn't want to do it.
Exactly.
But maybe he should have. Maybe he should at least give it a chance. And like, doesn't the end of Dark Knight Rises piss you off? Because don't you want to see another film
where
Blake takes the costume and maybe Bruce comes back into Gotham eventually and is like, hey, man, I got to have the bat suit back, but I'll give you this suit and make Blake Robin? I mean, God, it would have been awesome. And we'll never get it. DC and Warner Brothers and DC is moving on, and that's fine.
We were supposed to get it way sooner. A lot of people didn't realize this, but Robin was supposed to have a cameo in the first Batman, 1989, and Kiefer Sutherland was offered the role, but they decided to turn away from that.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I had forgotten about that. And actually, on the Blu-rays, I think even on the old DVDs, you can get for $5 in Walmart or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it has the concept art on there where you can see the Robin scene. And you're right about that. And I had read that Kiefer was going to possibly play the role in the cameo. Apparently, he was going to show up at the very end of the movie or something.
Yes.
And yeah, I had heard that too. And maybe someone would write a fan fiction story where it takes place after Dark Knight Rises and introduce it to our fan fiction that we may be introducing on the website in the next couple of months. Who knows? But it's hard not to mention Batman without mentioning Robin and just the impact that these characters have had over the years on culture, people's lives. I know Batman's impacted me greatly, and I know it's impacted you greatly, Electric Monkey. You've done some Batman cosplay for Halloween and
That's
stuff.
Right.
And I know my son thought your costume was awesome because he thought you were a Batman.
Yeah.
And do you have any other thoughts on Batman and its impact and its 25 years and 75 years being around as a character?
Man, it's just survived so much. It survived law cases, you know. It survived a couple bad movies, you know, or not so well made movies, other than, you know, some special effects. Being Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, but you know, we had the rise of a new empire with, you know, Christopher Nolan, and it's, you know, it just turned it around. You know, Batman is so epic. You know, and now every hero that you see is epic. You know, Tony Stark, he's epic. You know, Thor, he had to become a man and not a boy and earn back his father's respect. You know, Captain America, you know, against all odds, he was, you know, scrawny, he had asthma, but, you know, he had heart. And, you know, they look at that. That's what makes a hero nowadays. And Batman changed that. Batman started that.
And, before we wrap this episode up, as we move on, Batman 1989 is 25 years old. We've obviously, like you said, had the other Burton film, the Schumacher films that weren't as well received, the Nolan films, and we're moving on to a new Batman. I don't think I ever got your thought. What do you think about Ben Affleck playing Bruce Wayne Batman in Dawn of Justice?
I'm skeptical. You know, I'm skeptical, but you know what? They were skeptical about Michael Keaton.
That's right.
And, you know, I'm not going to knock it until I see it. You know, I was kind of, my first reaction was, really? You know, Ben Affleck. But I just remember Bennifer and, you know.
Well, I mean, Affleck made some bad movies. He made Reindeer Games. But he also made some great movies. The Town was excellent.
The Town.
I, Sadly, yes, I run a movie website, and I haven't seen Argo yet, but don't hold that against me. But I've heard it. He's excellent in Argo. You know, I think Affleck will do a good job. I mean, I love the picture that's been released in the suit. I think being that it's going to be more of an ensemble picture, because it looks like we're getting a Justice League prequel with this. Mm-hmm. You know, Cyborg's going to be in it. There's rumors of Jason Momoa playing Aquaman. And there's other rumors going around about other characters in the movie. So it looks like Dawn of Justice, Batman vs. Superman, is definitely going to be a Justice League prequel. And I'm very excited for it. I can't wait. And, you know, bring on 2016 so we can see this sucker. That's exactly what I'm thinking. I think there's never a bad idea to have more Batman on the screen. There's been rumors floating that a couple years later they're going to do a Batman solo film with Affleck. We may find out more here in a few weeks at Comic-Con. I don't know yet. But I'm super excited for Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. I can't wait. I was a big fan of Man of Steel. I thought Man of Steel was incredible, so I'm looking forward to see where DC goes with this new universe of films. And the more Batman, the better. And, you know, 25 years since Tim Burton's Batman, which still holds strong today, and it's still a very watchable film, as we mentioned. It's got its moments. It's got some not-so-good moments, but in 1989, it's all we had, and we all flocked to the theaters to see it. I think I saw it at least twice, I remember. And
we all played the video game.
Everyone played the video game, and which I'm sure you can find online on some, what do they call it, ROM sites and stuff, where you can download it and play it. And, of course, now we still have the impact of Batman in video games with the Arkham games and I'm sure there'll be more Batman games in the future. Batman's not going to go anywhere. 75 years, he'll still be here 25 years from now at 100 years. Hopefully we are too, you know, to see it. Batman's not going to go anywhere.
Nope.
So Electric Monkey, I mean, I think we've said a lot about Batman. Do you have any final thoughts?
Man, you know, I'm gonna miss Christian Bale as Batman. I miss the smoker's voice. I miss the smoker's voice.
Yeah, that's true. And but please, we hope you enjoy this episode and take the time to go to TrustMyJedi.com and read the article I wrote about Batman 1989 on Retroplex Cinema. There's a graphic on the left side of the website. We'll take you directly to the article. And please follow us on Facebook and Tumblr and Twitter and Pinterest, and God, there's a lot of social media out there nowadays, but hey, it helps get the Trust My Jedi name out there. And we thank you for listening to this Batman episode, and it won't be long till the next one. We'll record a lot sooner than every 3 weeks. Before we go, the Kickstarter, it's still going on, 4 weeks to go. The reason we want the Kickstarter, we were kind of goofy with the Kickstarter Hearts episode a couple weeks ago, and we thank you for listening to that. But we're using sign of some old equipment, and we just want to get better equipment. We want to get a mixing board and a couple of good mics and more server space so we can bring you even more episodes than every couple of weeks. And the Kickstarter links to the website, our goal is 600. And that goes towards all that equipment because it is pricey. And if you can donate, you can donate as little as a dollar. You can a reward start at 10. Some art prints and exclusive CD with an exclusive episode on it. And if you can, please donate to the TrustMyJedi.com Kickstarter. And if the Kickstarter isn't successful, well, we're still going to keep bringing you the Rebel Radio podcast because I, Mark, Electric Monkey, and Frank T. Biscuit love doing this for you. And we're going to keep on doing it. And we miss Frank T. Biscuit today on this episode because we would have liked to have had his thoughts on Batman and everything. But we'll have him on next time. We don't know what the next episode is going to be yet. We'll probably be talking some movies and some stuff after the 4th of July. And we'll see you all soon. Electric Monkey, any final words for Rebel Radio listeners?
Man, have a safe 4th of July. 4th of July is coming up. So, you know, be safe when y'all are playing with firecrackers and don't blow off any fingers.
That's right. Again, thanks for listening. I'm Mark, and with me is Electric Monkey today. It's copyright 2014 on Hole in the Wall Productions at TrustingTheJedi.com. And if you need to contact us, it's TrustingTheJedi2009@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Rebel Radio, the official podcast of Trust Me, I'm a Jedi.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zabcik from the same. And you're listening to
Rebel Radio. And you can find that on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
You're a Jedi?